Welcome to WAPJ. I'm J. Timothy Quirk. WAPJ is in its historic 20th year of providing quality programming to Northwest Connecticut community. As part of preserving that history, we present a panel discussion featuring the talent of the WAPJ broadcasters. In this panel, we are featuring the sports broadcasters of WAPJ. Please allow me to introduce Larry Wright, the sports director, Patrick Higgins, Christopher Saunders, Art Benedict, Kale Williamson. I'm going to ask you gentlemen to please share with the audience the names of your programs. Patrick.
My program is Friday Afternoon Sports Talk, every Friday afternoon from 3 to 5 p.m., covering college, professional, local sports from around the Torrington area.
And Kale.
Yeah, my show is the NFL Show every Sunday from 10 to 11 a.m., and we cover NFL football.
And Christopher.
I do not have a show currently at WAPJ, but I am the sports producer for 1320 a.m. WATR. I'm also the co-host of the X Factor every Thursday from 6 to 7, and every Saturday, the Saturday Night Sports Scene at WNHU West Haven, 88.7, 6 to 8.
And Art.
I am the host of the X Factor, which you can listen to on WAPJ from 6 to 7 o'clock on Thursday evenings.
Awesome. Gentlemen, thank you for being here to have this panel discussion. Larry, let me just start out with you and ask, how did sports, and specifically sports talk, come to WAPJ?
When Art and I were doing a sports show on a radio station that's now syndicated, but it was local in town here, WSNG, and I actually got into radio literally by an accident, and I had asked Art to come in and join me as a co-host of the show, and we did that for, I'm guessing, probably close to about 3 years before the station actually went dark. And when WAPJ was opening, we had a mutual friend in Dave Sweet, who was the inaugural station manager of WAPJ. And one of the programs he actively wanted was Sports Talk with Larry and Art. So, you know, it's kind of grown from there. It's a passion.
That's fantastic. Art, would you agree with that particular summation?
Oh, yeah, especially how we met, because I called into the Sports Talk show at WSNG, and Larry said, I'll tell you what, if you can answer this one question, and it was the backup catcher for the Red Sox, who I knew like the back of my hand, get behind the phone, and I could not think about it. And finally, he gave me every clue in the world, and so I came in, and we just started broadcasting, and maybe a couple of years, and we had some really good shows. And then when WSNG, as he said, went dark, we just waited a little while, and lo and behold, WAPJ picked us up, and we kicked it off there.
So you called into a station, and you wound up talking sports. Patrick, have you called into radio stations before you wound up getting a show of your own?
Oh, yeah. I've been trying to get on Mike and Mike for years with Twitter and all that. But I used to try to call into Francesa all the time because I just don't agree with what he has to say half the time. So I think that's why I really
that would have been real fun to listen to, wouldn't it?
Oh, it would have been great. But
Patrick and Francesa in the same conversation.
That would have been great. But the way I got into WAPJ was I was playing football with one of my best friends in high school, and I went to Western Connecticut for communications, and his dad came up to me one day, came over to the house watching football. He's like, you know, you sound like you could be on the radio. I'm like, yeah, okay, that's never going to happen. Next thing you know, 3 days later, he brings me an application for WAPJ. 2 weeks later, I'm on the air. So I really give him a lot of credit for getting me into what I want to do, and I've had so much fun. I love going on Art Show. I met Larry this year. It's been fun ever since, to be honest with you.
That was a blatant suck-up that I was expecting, actually.
And then met Chris. I've known Chris for about like 2 to 3 years now, right? 3 years. And then we just met Kale this year. And
yeah, I'm the new guy over here, so, new kid on the
but block. He's doing a heck of a job. And so,
thanks, Pat.
Oh, you're welcome, buddy. I had so much fun on Sunday. But, yeah, I have to give it a lot of credit to my buddy's dad for getting me into it. And so far, it's been a lot of fun.
Is football the main like a main through line there, or is anybody a fan of any particular sport outside of football that is their main sport?
to be honest with you, we really cover a lot of football and basketball. Baseball, I'm sorry. We cover a lot of Major League Baseball, and we cover a lot of NFL. On my show, I like to incorporate the NBA because I know a lot of people around Torrington have a lot of NBA teams that they love, like the Knicks and all that stuff. But I'd say a lot of football and baseball, especially on our shows.
And I mentioned that Art is wearing the Bruins jersey, so I just was throwing that out there to the floor. Let me ask you this, Christopher. X Factor, talk to me about how you got involved in the X Factor program.
Well, I think starting off from the beginning, the way I got into WAPJ was I was a intern for the Torrington Titans before they disbanded not too long ago. And I saw that there was a radio station, and I always wanted to be in radio, but I never had the opportunity because I live in Watertown and I'm so far from, you know, Torrington, UNH, wherever the case may be. But I saw that there was a radio station, and one of the interns said, "Hey, why don't you go up there and go introduce yourself?" So I was like, you know, hey, maybe. And then once the game ended, I waited until Art and John Basso, who was the former sports director and a broadcaster, he also has a show here as well, and I went up to Art and said, "Hey, you know," I introduced myself, told him who I was, you know, what my favorite sport was, which was obviously baseball. And, you know, one thing led to another, and it's been a domino effect ever since. It all started here at WAPJ.
Okay, real controversial, because we're talking baseball. Mm-hmm. In Connecticut, we're split. I would say 50-50. Some fans of one team or another might disagree that it's exactly 50-50. But Yankees, Red Sox are always a huge dynamic. Can you tell us where you fall on that side of the line?
Oh, I'm a diehard Yankee fan, 100%. Ever since I'm Pats, Yankee fan. I know Art and Kale are Red Sox.
You don't give me a high five right now.
Larry's a Red Sox fan, too.
You also have those unfortunate Mets fans, but...
Hey, they made it to the World Series once. 2015.
That was a long time ago, Chris, but it was 1986.
I'm really excited to be here.
Anybody brings up Bill Buckner, I'm walking out of here.
Yeah. Well, I'm looking to the future. I'm really happy to be here now. I'm looking forward to next summer and the Yankee-Red Sox rivalry, hopefully getting back to, you know, some of its former glory going forward. I think that'll be a lot of fun. In this room, it'll be a lot of fun, you know.
It's not going to be good in this room.
Yeah, we're not going to talk to each other.
Well,
but,
considering,
you know,
some people in this room are New York Football Giant fans, and we all know where that's gone this year.
Well, can you tell us a little bit about the NFL show? I am going to get back to the Yankees Red Sox because I think there's an interesting dynamic there. But tell me a little bit about the NFL show. Is it focused on New England Patriots, or do you also focus on the Giants as well, or everything?
Yeah, we focus on everything. We definitely try to pay some special attention to the local teams. You know, assuming that most of the people in the listening area are going to be fans of the New York teams or New England, we definitely talk about all the teams around the league. The NFL being such a popular sport, you have fans of teams everywhere, like the Cowboys fans sitting right next to me, a couple of them. So we cover it all, but... I joined the station last February. I also do a musical program, but I always had an interest in doing sports radio. So really, I think with Larry coming on board sort of around the same time that I got here, one of the first things we talked about was doing an NFL show. We wanted to do one on Sunday mornings. So that's sort of where the idea started, and we worked together to build it up to what it is now. We've been doing it for a couple months, and so far, so good. I've had all these guys on at this point, which has been cool. I guess Chris is called in. We'll have him in studio one of these Sundays. But, it's been a great experience so far.
Now, when you have your programs and conversations, do you cover some of the issues with sports that may not specifically relate to issues that occur on the field but off the field as well?
Yeah, we do.
Tell me about that. How are those type of issues addressed? It doesn't have to be any specific one at the time, but do you provide your own opinions for it? Do you ask or solicit other people's opinions for it? Or is there a discussion?
We kind of work with our own, you know, ideas and everything. We gather the information from what we're given to by the media, either by newspapers or TV or radio.
Yeah.
But I think each one of us here kind of formulates our own opinions about different subjects. So it could be about how the New England Patriots, the Deflategate, that type of thing,
right? Okay.
Or you know, the baseballs. We were going to kind of do something about the baseballs with the World Series.
With the World Series and how many home runs?
And how many home runs?
This is in 2017, and there were a ridiculous amount of home runs in the World Series, and so there was discussion that it was how it was bound. Is that how was that the issue?
Yeah, it's basically about how the balls are a lot livelier during the World Series and how the pitchers had to adjust to that. And you take a pitcher like Justin Verlander, he had to really adjust to the fact that he could not throw a slider or a fastball as maybe as much as he wanted to. That can vary from pitcher to pitcher. Same thing with Clayton Kershaw or Hugh Darvish. Hugh Darvish got lit up in both the games he had played. And it could have been a result of that. It could have been a result of the Astros were just waiting on him. It seems so that a lot of people were saying he might have been tipping his pitches where a lot of the players would know when he was going to throw a fastball or a slider, and they were just waiting on it. So we do address those issues.
Right, okay.
The one thing which I really think we've tried to stay away from is we will talk about the issues. I don't think when you're doing a live radio show, people do not want to hear bland radio. In sports, with the passion you have, there's always controversy. Mm-hmm. One thing that I have said to Cale, especially because it's of the nature of his show, the stand of the players kneeling for the national anthem. That is something I think we would rather focus on the product on the field than that particular stand. We all have our own personal opinions about it. However, when we are here to do an NFL show, we want to talk about the NFL. We want to talk about the games on hand. Okay.
I do agree with Larry. Like, these boys around this table know I really don't have a filter at times. I'll say whatever, because I have no problem expressing my opinion on any topic. But like Larry just said, I will not talk about politics and football because I think it's overshadowing what is going on the field. For about a month, I believe it was, all radio was for sports was, should they be standing, should they not be standing? And I said, what about the game that's actually being played on the field?
Yeah.
So I will not talk about that on my show for football because I think it's utterly ridiculous. I can give you my opinion all day here. We'd be here for 5 hours. But at the same time,
probably closer to all day.
Exactly. So my opinion is some aspects of my personal like belief system and all that stuff that comes with, like, let's say the standing for the national anthem, I'm not going to say because it takes away from what we're actually here to talk about, and that's sports.
Right.
If I can add to that, too, I feel like here we have limited time to be able to do what we want to do with these shows. And, you know, like I have an hour a week to talk about football on the radio, the NFL, and I don't think it doesn't do the discussion any justice to think that there's a lot that we can do with an hour a week on something like that. You know, I just feel like it wouldn't really be fair to the issue itself to launch into something like that with, you know, just we don't have the time that maybe some of these other sports shows have on bigger networks where they're, you know, they're doing 3 hours a day, 5 days a week. I feel like it would be an inappropriate use of the time, and it's not really what, you know, I want to do with an NFL show on Sunday morning. I want to talk about what's happening on field, and I feel like a lot of people listening do too.
My opinion is if you want to listen to a political show, go watch CNN.
Yeah.
That's my opinion. If you want to hear about sports, listen to my show or any of these shows here.
Well, we want to talk about sports. We want to talk about your sports views and opinions. We're going to be taking our first break so that way we can share some important information. When we come back, we're going to be talking about broadcasting sports events that are outside of the WAPJ studios. What have been your experiences doing that? And we'll be back in just a few moments here discussing the WAPJ's history here in the 20th year. program. I'm Jason D. Quirk. I'm here in WAPJ with Larry Wright, Patrick Higgins, Christopher Saunders, Art Benedict, Cale Williamson. We're talking sports. We're talking about the sports programming here on WAPJ. You know, Christopher, you described being at the Titans games and then finding WAPJ from there. Have you broadcast any live sporting events, or have you been a part of any sporting events outside of the Titans event there?
I actually have. I've done a lot of games now for 1320 WATR. I've done now a full season basically of football. I've also done basketball for DET Sports Media, where I've done Crosby, Kennedy, Wilby, Crosby, Career Academy, which is a new school that just came about a couple years ago. And I think it's really an experience to be able to start off in Torrington to see the type of talent that was in this area and then go about in the Waterbury District. Being from Sacred Heart High School in Waterbury, which is a small little school, Class S school, mm-hmm. and for basketball, they are a five-time state championship team. Wow. They had Mustafa Haran, who's at Auburn, potential number, I wouldn't say number one, but probably a top 10, top 15 NBA pick. But looking at the overall aspect of the Waterbury area, the amount of talent that's there is enormous. It's almost imagine all five schools combining into one. That would be an unstoppable team for basketball. I could tell you that much.
Wow. How about the excitement of just broadcasting that live game and seeing that type of talent unfold before your eyes? What's that experience like for you all, for those who do live performances broadcasting live sports shows?
Well, it's exhilarating. You know, we've had a bunch of games around here that have gone to overtime, walk-offs, last-second shots, you know, going down to the two-yard line, getting a false start, and then having a one-play opportunity to win the game. It's been fun. It's different from then your regular show that we do every week here, where most of us script out our shows, where you're on the fly, you have to go like that. And if you're not ready, then people are going to know, so you have to be on your A game every single time.
Yeah, Chris and I did a basketball game one night. It was a girls' game at the Torrington High School gym. And a young girl her name was Sarah Royals. She's a very good basketball player. She went up into upstate New York.
Great game.
And so we got to broadcast that game, but the ironic thing was that they were playing from behind. It came down to a last-second shot for the win. It was almost a half-court shot, and she put it in. The excitement in that building was just remarkable. The big thing was that I woke up the next morning watching ESPN. Somebody had filmed that and put that on ESPN, but we were part of that, and wow. That you can't duplicate that.
So was I, but I was in the fan zone.
You have those moments where it's just amazing, and that's what sports is. When you talk about sports, it's the moment. You know, you watch a no-hitter. You watch somebody like Aaron Judge hit a 450, almost 485-foot home run, a walk-off win for the Titans, or a last-second shot or a last-second touchdown by Torrington. The excitement is just, it's unbelievable.
And we've been very lucky around the Torrington area to do this, too, because we've had some great athletes come around.
And Jordan Williams.
Krista Berry when he was playing football, yep. Sarah Royals. The team this year for the boys basketball team for Torrington is going to be pretty good. So we've gotten very lucky where we're actually being able to broadcast good games and have competitive games every single time.
I'm going to take you back before then when we first went on the air. 1997 was the inaugural season for a team called the Torrington Twisters. 3,600 people at Fusions Park opening night. Two brothers, David and Jason Benham, who have gone on to fame with their religious beliefs. We played the Middletown Giants the first season in the NECBL championship. It went best 2 out of 3. Middletown won. High drama. We were broadcasting home and away. So many people that came through that great Twister organization, head coach Greg Hunt, which you and I have interviewed numerous times. Mm-hmm. And for all you baseball fans out there, okay, and I wish they could get this right, there was a pitcher that played for Torrington the next to last season, Torrington was here. You may have heard of him. His name is Steven Strasburg. Mm-hmm. Happens to be a pitcher for the Washington Nationals. The following year, Strasburg came back to Torrington as a member of Team USA, the only twister ever to have his uniform retired.
Wow.
To watch Steven Strasburg, to watch some of those great teams back then, it was new. We were new. We all came on the scene at the same time. We were there in the winter. They came in the spring. It was like a marriage. We did home games. We did away games. We got to know the players on a personal basis. They got to know us. And it was just so exciting. You know, I look at my kids now. My daughter's, you know, Hillary's 34 and living in Louisiana, married. My daughter Heidi's married and living in Torrington here with a little girl. And, of course, you know, teenage daughters and baseball players and fathers. Yeah. But it was exciting. It was an exciting time for Torrington. It was an exciting time for WAPJ.
If I could segue one point to the now, it was the Titans. It went from the Twisters to the Titans. Art and I, we did the Torrington Titans versus Team Canada. And there was a pitcher on the staff that Art and I, you know, it caught our attention. And at the time, Art, you know, I teach him a little bit about prospects, about guys coming up. And I told him about this one pitcher. His name was Cal Quatrill. Now, if you recognize the last name Quatrill, his father, Paul Quatrill, was the guy that gave up the bomb to Ortiz back in 2004 when the, you know, Yankees eventually blew the game against the Red Sox. Red Sox won the World Series.
Would you repeat that a little slower, please? I just want to hear it again.
We just want to hear a little slower. Red Sox swept the Yankees, and then they won the World Series. But going back to the point, Cal Quatrill, his son, was throwing pole to pole. That's over 350 yards. And at the time, he was 6 foot, 150 pounds, soaking wet. And he shut down the Titans. Although he lost at a 2-1 effort, he eventually went to Stanford. He had Tommy John surgery. And he was drafted in 2016, 8th overall by the Padres. His dad was the assistant to the GM when he was signed. So to have someone like Cal Quatrill, who pitched on that mound, for anybody who either for Torrington or for Crosby or whoever in high school, or Babe Ruth, gets to pitch on that mound, just know that the 8th overall pick in 2016, Cal Quatrill, pitched on that mound.
That's awesome.
It was fun.
In terms of the identifying that talent and that young talent early and seeing that, and then having those amazing events like the when you know, these other teams like Team Canada or Chinese team had come to play. Those are the type of things that I think I would love to, if there was ever a rebroadcast of it, if it had ever been taped, I would listen to it. I would love to hear the highlights of it, because I think sometimes what makes an indelible moment is not just that event, but it's also what a broadcaster can also bring to it when they get excited, when they've described that event and that feeling. Those, you know, it's often that event that's seen through the eyes and heard through the you know, the voice of the of an announcer that's saying goal or saying you know, he did it, it's all over, that sort of event. When you're doing your broadcast, do you get to that pitch?
Oh, of course. I think everybody at this table can say I have.
And it comes very naturally.
Yeah.
Well, what you're doing, and you're painting a picture. You're painting a picture in a listener's mind of what's going on. That's exactly what you're doing. You're bringing it to their ears so they can see it.
In terms of when I mentioned rebroadcasting, you don't tape, you don't record those live shows, do you?
Well, I actually do. Either if I'm on the X Factor or if I'm doing the baseball games, I know during the summer I always would have a flash drive. I carry, you know, my bag behind me. I always have a box full of flash drives that have all the recordings between, you know, WATR, WAPJ, UNH, anything that I do that I talk, I make sure I record it because I like to listen to it and see what I've done wrong, what I've done right, either in trying to get my voice higher, my voice lower, talk slower. There's always something that I can always improve on because I'm a perfectionist. I always want to be better than what I can be, and I always feel like there's an opportunity that I will. It's just a matter of putting in that effort. Because at the end of the day, and I'm sure Art, Patrick, Kale, Larry, all of you can say the same thing, but in my heart of heart, I believe I want it more than anybody, and I'm going to get it.
That's fantastic. Do you listen to your shows or to hear your own voice, as Christopher has described, to be able to try to improve your performances as well?
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, absolutely. Of course. I record my show all the time on Facebook Live, which I didn't realize until I started doing it how many more people actually watch the show after I put it up there. I'm getting at least 600 to 800 views a week on every video because I just add everybody on Facebook because I want everybody to be my friend, but at the same time, gives you more more exposure. And it's fun because all your friends also go, yo, this is awesome, you're doing a great job, and he gives you feedback. Plus, when you watch it, like you actually watch it as well, besides hearing it, you see what you're doing wrong, you see if you make any mistakes. Like Chris said, I'm a perfectionist too. I hate losing. I hate all of it. So it's nice to go back and look at it all and pretty much just try to improve every single time.
Kale, do you also try to improve your broadcasting as well?
Yeah, sure. I mean, so I've been doing this for a matter of a couple months, so it's all pretty new to me. But, yeah, I do record the show and listen to it and always try to do better. I think one thing that is certainly a common thread in this room, and I think that drew all of us to broadcasting, I would imagine, is just a passion for sports, love of the game. Maybe this goes back to what you were saying, you know, in broadcasting a sports moment and feeling that emotion. I think a lot of that from a broadcaster is very real because, you know, people who put themselves in that position there, they have so much passion for the game, and a great broadcaster that really comes through. Even just in sports discussion, you know, one of the things that really drew me to this place in this sports department was just the passion that would come through from guys like Chris and Pat and Art, you know. It's just really fun when you're a fan of sports to get to do something like this and to hang out with other people that really enjoy it like you do. So it's, yeah.
I think you need to have that passion, though, too. Because yeah, absolutely. If you don't have it, it's just going to sound bland. Yeah.
Right. And definitely.
You know, like if we're sitting there, oh, he had a 14-yard pass down the field. Nobody's going to want to listen to that. You got to go,
and
that was a
Johnson's
big.
Johnson's had a bean dinner.
Exactly.
At house
yeah, exactly. You got to have exactly. That, like, drive, like, touchdown, you know? You got to have that because even if one person's listening, it's your obligation to give them the best broadcast that you have. I've learned that from Art Benedict from the first day I talked to him when he was sitting down in a chair. I think we sat at this table and we were talking about what we were going to do, and he gave me that look like, you better not screw this up. So,
you got that look?
Oh, I got that look. I got that look.
Guess where I got that from? LW.
As he looks over his shoulder. But if you don't have that passion, nobody's going on to listen because, yeah, you can listen in to all the information, but at the same time, you can go on ESPN.com for that if you really just want to have information. Yeah. What you listen to Sports Talk is for, to get different opinions and to hear that energy from people that love talking about sports.
That's awesome. Yeah.
I think the one thing, too, is if you're someone that wants to get into the broadcasting business, whether it be in play-by-play or in color, or even if you want to be a sports talk show host like, you know, Art Benedict, you know, Pat, Larry had a show, Kale, whoever, doesn't matter. The one thing that I've always done is, and my parents think I'm crazy, my brother laughs at me all the time, but I just ignore it. I mute the TV, and then during a baseball game, because I've become familiar now with players and who's up, you know, who's in the bullpen, the managers, everything. So what I do is I'll mute the TV, and then I'll pretend like I'm calling the game. And I'll take down notes, you know, and then I'll unmute the TV, I'll listen to it for the next half inning to see if I missed anything, and then I'd go back to mute it again because I feel like that's the one thing that you can do if you want to try to improve your craft in any way.
Oh, I do the same thing. I shut off college football games, and I just go nuts.
You know, it's funny because you say that because I remember Super Bowl III.
I got nothing. I'm not going to say anything. Continue.
I knew that was going to happen. New York Jets, Baltimore Colts, Joe Namath's guarantee. I had a little cassette recorder. Super Bowl III was 1968. I was 14. God, memory pills are kicking in. I had a little cassette recorder. I shut off the volume. Kirk Gowdy. I remember Kirk Gowdy. The great Kirk Gowdy was calling the game.
You shut off Kirk
Gowdy? I shut off Kirk Gowdy and actually recorded the Super Bowl on some cassette that's in Stark Road in Conway, New Hampshire, in the woods probably by now. But I mean, that's how it starts. That's how it begins. You know, but now, in the position I'm in, because, and Art and I've talked about it, because we were the originals. We were there. You know, these guys here, these guys are the future. It's like whatever we can do to assist them to get to their goal. Oh, don't get me wrong. The two old guys here can still get it done. We can still do it.
We're not good as we once were, but we're good as we ever were.
That's right. But, you know, to work with Cale, I remember putting an ad on the website. Hey, anybody interested in doing sports? Can you be called? Cale did. I had an idea. We were going to do an NFL show. He's doing gangbusters. These two right here, and I mean this sincerely. It's nothing I haven't said to them, and they have not paid me off from the last time I said it, so I'm getting upset. This guy knows statistics better than anyone.
That's Christopher Saunders you're referring to?
Christopher Saunders, and these two right here are ready for the next level. They really are. This guy right here has got passion that it's unbelievable.
Patrick? Yes.
Patrick has passion. Christopher has passion. He's got the stats. At this position, I like to work with the young talent. This is their show now. We've done the wrestling broadcast from WAPJ way back when I had to beat up King Kong Bundy. It's been right since. But, you know, back then we were doing stuff like that. We were doing basketball games from Torrington Christian Academy. Mm-hmm. We did a basketball game from, what's that place in Litchfield? The home there for the kids. What was the name of it?
I can't remember.
Are you talking about the Junior Republic?
Yeah, we couldn't mention their last name. We could only call them by their first name.
Right.
But back in our infancy, that's what we were doing. We did a football game on a Thanksgiving between Watertown and Torrington that was a classic. Back when we called up to dial in the phone, if you got two beeps, you were on the air. If you didn't, you hope you were. Mm-hmm. But that's the way we did it. And it's just, now it's so much fun to work with these guys.
That's fantastic. Well, it's so fun to have this conversation. What we're going to do is we're going to have a quick break for station identification. We're going to come on back, and then we're going to talk about the community. There's clearly a community here at this table, but there's even a larger community with the WAPJ listeners. I want to talk about that community as well. So we'll be back in just a few moments here talking about the history of WAPJ with the sports broadcasters. Discussion about the WAPJ's history of sports broadcasting with the sports broadcasters here in our 20th year, 2017. We are talking about sports. You know, Patrick, when you described putting on Facebook Live, mm-hmm. your shows, and then getting that feedback, that just brought a whole level to this discussion in terms of that community engagement that you have with WAPJ. You also mentioned as well whether you're doing a show for one person or a thousand or the thousands in the community, you do the best show that you can possibly get. Let's talk about that community engagement. How can you tell when you're getting that feedback from the audience? What's the best way that your fans do communicate about what you do?
Target. I walked through Target last week and somebody said, hey, you do that sports show on WAPJ. I'm not lying to you. This is like 100% real. And I said, yeah, that's me. And we had about a 10-minute conversation about the World Series. So that kind of thing where they listen to your show or like they see you on Facebook Live like Alicia's doing right next to me right now, they see who you are. And then they see your personality. They see you're, like, upbeat, like all of us are here. They don't mind coming up to you. Me, personally, I like it. Come up and talk to anything you want. But let's talk about World Series. Let's talk about how bad Ben McAdoo's the head coach of the New York Giants. Let's go all the way. It doesn't matter. Like, come up to me. I don't care. If I'm shopping, cool. We'll talk for 10 minutes.
And just before anybody else begins, I just want to say that Target is not a sponsor of WAPJ, so this was not a commercial, but it was just sharing some factual information. But that's fantastic, because so people do come up to you and they say, hey, let me talk to you about your show.
Yeah, another thing we do is that we can go on Facebook, on our Facebook page on WAPJ, and we can see how many people are listening on Facebook. And a lot of times during the broadcast that we've done for the Titans, we've done live broadcasts, we have asked maybe the person that's doing the board will have somebody like say, hey, I'm listening from so-and-so. And when we started out, Tim, when we started WAPJ and we started these live broadcasts, we were very local. Mm-hmm. And I mean, just the Torrington area, anywhere you could see, maybe Harwinton, that area. When we went to the internet, it became a whole new thing for us. I remember doing a broadcast for the Titans. We were setting up one night, and these two individuals, a man and a woman, and, of course, we were upstairs above the broadcast. We call it the penthouse because it's got the best view of the whole place. But we were upstairs setting up, and this man and this woman came up and said, are you guys from WAPJ? We said, yeah. And so they said, well, we just want to thank you. Our son plays shortstop. They lived in Toronto, Canada. They came down to visit their son, and they wanted to make sure that they stopped by and thanked us for broadcasting the game. The mother especially said, that's the way we stay connected to our son, is through you. So that community just opened right up.
That's huge, and that's providing a voice and that connection with from Torrington, and specifically for that one family, but then for beyond that, and that's so fantastic. Do you get feedback from the internet in terms of what you do as well, Christopher?
I post everything that I record, whether it be Facebook, Instagram, Twitter. I send it to people that we've had on the show before, and I've always gotten feedback, and I'm not the type of person that takes things personal. I don't need to be that guy who has to be pat on the butt like, oh, you know, good job. You know, you're doing fine. No, I want the straight, honest truth. And,
you're doing fine.
You know, at
Come
the end
on.
Of the day,
Come on.
You know,
you're doing fine.
When it comes down to it, I want to be the best one I can be. So I want the honest truth. If you can tell me, oh, you know, if you disagree with me, because I've had a lot of disagreements with people. Art, we've had a couple. Patrick, we've had everything. Kale, I think we've been pretty good so far. Larry, I don't think
fresh.
Larry, you and I have argued about anything yet, per se.
You feel left out,
Kale. Another blatant suck-up, I might add, you know, right next to Patrick.
But the one thing, though, I like about the disagreements is it creates a discussion, because that's what sports is, just like in politics and life and whatever. It creates a sort of, all right, prove your point, I'll prove mine. And then we can just go back and forth, and when it starts to get testy, that's when I, you know, back away, because at the end of the day, it's on social media, and you don't want to be saying something because then people could take a screenshot, and then your career is gone.
Right.
But it's always good to have the sort of discussions back and forth, because a lot of times if someone's trying to defend their case, it's like, oh, I didn't know that. And then a lot of times when I'm saying something, they didn't hear or they didn't really hear or they didn't understand what I said. So it's kind of a good, you know, it's a good back and forth.
I like the challenge. I hate to lose.
Including the discussion.
Oh, I hate
and
it.
Just debates.
I'll go home and be like, how could I improve that? I hate to lose. But I agree with Chris. We live in a social media age. We have all these different social media outlets. And my whole opinion is, why not take advantage of it? You know, everybody
Absolutely.
Else does.
Yeah.
You have people making thousands of dollars by putting up dog videos. Why can't we use it to our advantage and get our product out there more? That's just my opinion on it.
I remember, Cale, when you were first starting out the NFL show, and Alicia actually did almost an announcement for you. Alicia's our social media manager here for WAPJ, and she was able to put that information out there live on Facebook. That got a lot of engagement. Do you do Absolutely. Facebook Live as well, or is that something that you're considering doing?
There again, still pretty new to the game here. It's not something I've done yet, but definitely something that I intend to do in the future. Just a matter of doing it, I guess, but I just wanted to get comfortable with what I was doing, you know, get used to doing the show maybe before, because I think one of the challenges with doing something like that is if you put it out there and it's maybe not at the level of quality that you want it to be, somebody might tune in that time, maybe they don't think it's that good and they're not going to watch it again. So, you know, I think there's at least for me a desire to have it be at a level that I feel ready to, you know, share it so openly with the rest of the world, you know.
But that's actually consistent with what everybody is saying here, which is basically your passion for the subject breeds a need to be perfect and to breed that perfectionism.
Sure, yeah.
Because you care about it, and you care about it so deeply that you want it to be the best that you can possibly be. Is that you would agree with that as well?
Absolutely. Art? From day one, I mean, I've been doing this for 20 years on WAPJ, and then before that with Larry. And every time you sit in front of that microphone, your thoughts are, how can I be better than the last time? And I have to tell you, even after 20 years, before I get on the air, I have those little butterflies, but as soon as that mic goes on, it all goes away.
Right.
And you have your good shows and your bad shows. A good show, you might think it was a bad show, somebody will say, wow, that was the
great
best
show.
Yeah,
great
that was a
show,
great
man.
Show, you know, and then all of a sudden you say, oh, wow, I nailed it, and somebody will come up and go,
were you sick last night?
Yeah, you didn't really sound like yourself. So,
yeah,
but you always try to improve on every broadcast that you do or every game that you call, and we'll prepare for that all week long. Like, we have a high school football game tomorrow at Torrington High School.
Yep.
We've already been talking about how we're going to prepare for that game tomorrow night. And it just seems to just flow.
Wow. Yeah, but there's prep work getting that to that stage, right?
There is a lot of prep work.
This is like a second job for me. Yeah. I at least put about 30 to 35 hours a week into my show, from reading stories, watching sport talk, thinking about topics, putting it together, then getting rid of stories because other stories come out. I probably everybody here probably puts in at least a 40-hour work week on their thing, except Art, because Art's just the man. He just goes in with the newspaper and goes at it. But, you know, it's...
That's called age, my friend.
Yeah, that's it.
I didn't want to say it, but I at least put 35 hours a week into this show. So everybody's like, oh, that's easy. It's not easy. You got to prepare because you have to know what you're talking about.
And you know, Tommy, the thing that just strikes a chord with me, because having been involved with it, having been involved with all these great individuals, is this. They're all volunteers. Mm-hmm. And having been a sports fan my entire life and listened to some of the greats, I'll tell you what, the talent and ability at this table is just as good as anybody else has got out there.
Which
I am proud of them. They work, they do their, when they come in here, it's not, we're not getting paid for this. It's, we're going in there, we're doing a show, and we're doing the best show we can do. And that's a tribute to them.
To piggyback off that is, I agree with you 100%, Larry, because we're not getting paid for this. We're doing this because we like sports and we want to broadcast sports. Where that's where I think we have one of the best sports departments around, because, like I said, we're not getting paid. We're doing this because we love it.
We have the best sports department
exactly.
around, son.
So,
thank you.
I come in here every Friday because I want to talk sports. We work our other jobs, but then we come in here because we want to talk sports. That's why I think this sports department is so great, because we just have that passion every single week. And we don't skip weeks. You know, we skip Thanksgiving and holidays, but you know, we come here every single week.
The X Factor is on Thanksgiving.
Oh, it
has been and always will be.
I plan on being here, Art. Nobody else is going to be. But like tonight, before we had this discussion, we're here talking about the upcoming Torrington basketball season, putting a schedule together that fits the WAPJ schedule. doing girls' games, going to be doing guys' games, game of the week, and we're already talking about the commitment we're making for that.
Absolutely.
We have to plan ahead. I'm looking forward to the spring and summer on what we're going to do for baseball next year. We have to be that prepared, and we are, and these guys are fantastic doing it.
Think about this. When I get done with my show every Friday at 5, I'm already preparing for the next week's show. Literally on ESPN right after and saying, all right, what can I put into my show next week? That's the passion that I love that all of us at this table have.
Absolutely. There's so many questions that I have based upon what we just talked about, not the least of which is, have there ever been a moment where you're about to go on the air with a program and then something in the news, specifically sports-related, happens and that almost forces you to talk about that one issue mm-hmm. that you hadn't prepared mm-hmm. for? Mm-hmm. Has that happened to you? And tell me about it.
A couple weeks ago in the Yankees, when Girardi was let go by the Yankees.
Yeah, it was just before we went on there with the X Factor. And so it was all over the airwaves in the afternoon. So when we got here that night, that's what we had to open up with.
Yeah.
And there's been numerous times where you've had that.
Right.
Where all of a sudden, that's the nice thing about sports is that you're always looking, you're always interested because there's always going to be something that comes right then and there. And we've been on broadcasts where we've had breaking news of a sports story mm-hmm. right when we were broadcasting a game or broadcasting the X Factor. So, yeah, it's real time. It's right to the moment right there.
Sports is never boring. There's always something that comes out right after where it's like when I was coming over here, Green Bay Packers cut Bennett.
Martell's
going and on. I'm like, right. All right, now when I get to the studio, I'm going to have to sit down and read this story. Because one, I want to read it. Two, I want to know what happened. And three, I know I'm going to use that Friday. So it's never boring.
And we do. We have a group chat between all of us that we chat back and forth. It
keeps me up at night.
So, yeah. it's phone's blowing up at 11 o'clock.
I don't. It's past my bedtime at 8.
Yeah. But something that happened like yesterday, where a prominent pitcher for the Phillies and the Toronto Blue Jays, Roy Halladay, died in a plane crash. As soon as I saw that and got enough information, I was on the group chat talking with these guys, and we were kind of kicking things back and forth. And we'll talk about that on a show, or we'll talk about that on the air. But that's our first thing. What we do is we just boom, boom. We go back and forth, and we just get our own thoughts and everything.
We're going to take our final break, and then when we come back, we're going to have our final segment with this wonderful discussion, the panel discussion about sports at WAPJ. We'll be back in just a few moments.
Up on that with my phone.
Okay. I got you. Bears
off. Mr. Susie.
What's up? What's up, man?
What's happening?
Going with the bearded look. I
the
like
razor,
it.
Razor go on vacation.
I've been going for that. What's up, man? How's it going?
Good. I actually saw that beard this morning on the radio when I was listening. Yeah.
Did you hear it rustling into the microphone?
Yeah.
I had a couple places that I could go with. I wanted to talk about, like, do you wish and would you like an opportunity to have some, like, phone calls come in? Because that's something that we don't presently do. Is there a way, do you want to talk about that, or do you want to not talk about
that? The risk part of that is because, and we've always found, because you're dealing with the passion, you're dealing with emotion, and there's language. Always the possibility somebody's going to drop something that we do not want on our program.
And is there a way to do the show that has a delay?
We do have a delay mechanism.
We do have
mechanism.
A delay. But that
I haven't figured out how to use it yet, but we do have it.
Usually the best way to do that, like on Kale's show, basically, Chris Walters comes on with the Adult Contemporary Hit Show afterwards. So when I was doing the show with Kale in the morning, if someone called in with a question, Chris could pick the phone up, get the question, then we could discuss the question on the air.
We can probably go with that. The other thing that I want to ask you, and tell me if this is a good way of concluding the segment, I'd like to ask, what's your favorite sports memory? It doesn't have to be one that you broadcast. But I'd like to, for your history, this is part of your history as much as it's WAPJ.
Mine probably happened
called the Red Sox?
8 months ago.
2004, brother.
So, well, just hold on to that.
All right.
Because we're coming on back in 5, 4. Welcome back to WAPJ for our final segment, talking with the sports broadcasters of WAPJ. This has been a fantastic discussion. I want to just say as well, thank you for taking the time to share your thoughts, share your memories. Some of your memories I hadn't heard before, and I'm excited to learn more about it. I want to conclude, start the end part of our discussion by talking about what is your favorite sports memory, memory for you personally, whether you broadcast it or not. Larry, I'll start with you.
Have to be 2004 and the Boston Red Sox down 3-0 to the New York Yankees. My dad was a Red Sox fan. I mean, I grew up during the lean years with the Red Sox when they brought up their first integrated black player was a guy by the name of Pumpsy Green, 1959. The Red Sox were terrible while I was growing up. They had a couple good years. But in 2004, down 3-0 to the Yankees. It's all over. Wait a minute. No, it's not. They come back and win 4 in a row, which has never been done before. They go on to sweep the Cardinals in the World Series in 2004. My next-door neighbor's over at my house after he broke all my furniture, jumping up and down, calling his 96-year-old grandfather, crying that the Boston Red Sox had won the World Series, something my dad never saw in his lifetime. To me, greatest sports moment for me of all time, followed closely by the Miracle on Ice, the 1980 United States hockey team.
Very nice. Patrick?
2007, when the New York Giants defeated the New England Patriots in the Super Bowl.
So that's what we call payback. Right?
Well, going in, I will never forget this. I will never forget this. The only person that gave the Giants a chance was Mike Ditka. And afterwards, he was smoking a fat cigar on that set because he knew he got it right.
And he traded all the cigars for Ricky Williams.
I'm
the next
okay
day.
With it. But going in, arguably one of the greatest football teams of all time, beat Tom Brady. I will never forget Plaxico Burress wide open in the corner of the end zone for the winning touchdown, and me and my dad jumping around, running around the house, calling everybody we knew. I was calling all my friends that are Patriots fans. Sorry, Kale. But that was the greatest sports moment of my life.
Doesn't count. We didn't know you then.
It's a helmet catch.
It was great. David Tyree. Yeah.
Good luck.
Christopher.
I have two. I have one for calling and then one watching. I'd have to say for broadcasting, I might be biased. I mean, all the fun I've had with you are calling the games. I could bring up so many from the Titans. But I'd have to say the one that I did by myself, well, I wasn't by myself, but when I did play-by-play, was during this past summer, I did the Mickey Mantle World Series, which was a bunch of, you know, local, or not local, but state teams came around from Nebraska to Wisconsin, all around Florida, and I was able to call the championship game. And a lot of those kids are going to be going Division I in probably the next 2 to 3 years. So I thought that was a nice touch to be able to end the summer on that. And for watching, I would have to say Mariano Rivera making his last out and seeing Derek Jeter and Andy Pettit being my idol, love him to death, loved him since I was a kid. Being able to see the both of them walk out to the mound and being able to basically hug Rivera, that's my childhood right there, and it was basically saying goodbye. Watching them as I was a kid, seeing them progress through their career and seeing that dynasty end. But now we have another one with Sanchez and Judge and so on.
Premature.
Well, my favorite sports memory, I wasn't technically broadcasting, but I was broadcasting very much to the room that I was in at the time. And this was about 10 months ago, Super Bowl 51. The New England Patriots were all but down and out, losing. What was that score? 28-3. I'll never forget that score, Larry. You know that. 28-3, and somehow in that second half, Tom Brady, the greatest quarterback of all time, did what Tom Brady does, led the Patriots to a terrific comeback. Fifth Super Bowl championship, and of course the way that year started with him being suspended the first 4 games for totally ridiculous reasons that we don't have to get into. It just was sealed the deal on what had to be the greatest sports memory of my life.
So on that, my second one is 2011 when the Giants beat the Patriots again. Oh, sorry.
Calm down.
Let it go.
It's all right.
Yeah, I would have to say staying with baseball and being a diehard Red Sox fan. Thinking back this is before these guys, but thinking back to 1986, and I'm not going to bring it up, Larry, but I remember...
I hate you.
I know, but I'm not going to bring it up. But anyway, I remember sitting there watching it being one out away from winning the World Series, and then it all fell apart. I even had a
if
list
you
of...
you mention Bucky
I'm not,
Dent, I'm out of here.
I'm not. That was 1978.
This is your favorite sports moment?
I'm getting there, okay? Wow. Hey, listen, it's my time.
It's a one-hour program.
So anyway, back in 86, I had a list of people I was going to call that were longtime Red Sox fans, and then it never came. So when 2004 came, and I thought of all the people that were Red Sox fans who were born and brought up and died Red Sox fans, right, without them watching and getting to win the World Series, I not only got to see the World Series, but I got to see it with my on TV with my son. And a lot of people didn't get to do that. So that has to be my biggest moment.
That's huge. That's a good one. I can feel that familial feeling that you all have with the people that you care about. You share sports. It's not just a solitary adventure. You're sharing that sports moment with your family, with your friends, and with the outside community, especially now that with WAPJ sharing that sports, the love of sports with the community. And so thank you for doing that. In closing, I wanted to thank each and every one of you directly. I wanted to thank Larry Wright, who is the sports director for WAPJ. Thank you for being part of this panel,
and
along with with one of the original panels that we had talking about the history of WAPJ. Also, Art Benedict, I want to thank you for taking the time.
Thank you, Tim. This was fun.
This absolutely. I hope that you guys do more panels, although you're on each other's programs, which I think is great, but I love having this type of panel discussion. I want to thank you, Patrick. It's great to hear your passion. I actually have seen your Facebook Live in the booths there with the games, and so that's a fantastic experience. So thank you for being part of the program.
Thank you,
Tim. I've got one other person I think we all need to thank here, and she's actually the one who's putting this on Facebook right now, because she does the board, she goes to each and every one of the games, she does the Facebook Live, and quite frankly, the sports department would not be the sports department without Alicia.
So thank you, Alicia.
Thank you.
Christopher Saunders, thank you for being a part of this panel discussion. Your memories of broadcasting and the passion to be perfect, I totally relate to, and I want to thank you for being a part of this discussion.
Thank you for having me. I really do appreciate it.
Absolutely. And Kale, it's been great to have this discussion with you. I remember when you were practicing, just in terms of practicing making perfect, you were in the back room there at the Studio B for WAPJ when I first met you, and you were practicing your work that would eventually go on the air. So I want to thank you for being a part of this discussion as well.
Well, thank you, Tim, and you're welcome on the NFL show anytime.
Absolutely. This has been a WAPJ talking about our history, the history of sports. Thank you for listening, and I hope you enjoyed the chat. So thank you, guys. Thank you.
That was
fantastic.
That was fun.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.